half human, half birds. So it is said that Garurji is the most topmost of that race. You have also Kimpurushas, like half humans, half horses. We have discussed a few times about the appearance of Hayagriva. So Hayagriva is said to be belonging to that. Well, actually, he was the first one to start with that race. And I think most of you also know a very, very famous Kimpurush, Narsingadeva. So he's half man, half lion. So there are many like that Kimpurushas. And then the Kinnars. Kinnar is like the words Kim and Nara. It's also like, what kind of a man is that? It's Kim, what, and Nara is also man. So not human, because Kim Purush is like also actually it's both, like Purush is also man. But the Kinnars differ from the Kim Purush because the upper side is male, like a human being, and the lower part is from an animal. I think the Greek mythology has a very famous, like the half horse, half male person. So these are not like, you know, fantasies of some writers or artists or, you know. So these personalities, these races, they still exist actually. It's described also that the Kimpurushas are still in Himalaya, and they are still protecting their many auspicious parts of Himalaya from actually the degrading characters which belong to the human race. So they are still there. Hanuman is still there. As we know, Hanuman can be also in other places, but they are still there. And they are continuing to do devotional service for Lord Ramachandra. And Lord Ramachandra, he is described here in the summary, is Lord Ramachandra exemplifies an incarnation of Godhead who descends for the mission of Paritranaya Sadhana, Vinashaya Chaduskrita. So Lord Ramachandra is a perfect example of protecting the devotees and destroying the bad elements. But Lord Ramachandra came, he did that. I think that is known to all of us. And especially in India, of course, when there were no television and Hollywood, Bollywood pollution and all kinds of other pollutions of the Kali Yuga, then people would, you know, tell these tales of Hanuman and the glories of Lord Ramachandra, and it was at the same time entertaining, but also it was uplifting the whole community, the whole society. So we try to do that with this kind of facilities as classes. We have classes in the morning, we have classes in the evening. So we try to uplift our community with important leelas of Krishna, of Ram, of so many other avatars. Especially Lord Ramachandra was popular, Lord Krishna was popular also, but specifically for children, Lord Krishna's tales were told because, yeah, of course, you know, as a child he was, you know, like a super, what we have, like a superman, and what we have more like, this Spider-Man or whatever, you know. Those were real life stories of Lord Krishna, and children would get inspiration from that to have a better character, develop a better character, deal with it with each other nicely. You know how the gopas would deal with each other, and they would not take up or develop qualities as nowadays is very, very actually kind of becoming common in schools, that one group, you know, picks on one, you know, lesser popular child in the school. So these qualities would not manifest in those times and with those facilities that would be offered to the community. And the leaders of the community would very much take care that these qualities would not develop, and that's why they would emphasize on the qualities as presented by Lord Krishna, for especially for the children, and Lord Ram for the, you know, for the adults. Of course, when you look at what Lord Krishna did when he had a more mature life, then it was, you know, for the lack of understanding or the level of understanding of the leelas of the Lord, you know, the Lord had many wives, was, you know, having all kinds of affairs with gopis, such and so, gopis married, unmarried, and so on. So that would not really benefit the community. So these tales or these leelas would not be really presented to the adult community, but the adult community would very much get inspiration from Lord Ram, because the leelas of Lord Ram in childhood time, it's not as exciting as the leelas of Lord Krishna in childhood time. So that's why in general in among Hindus or among Indians, the Lord Ram is seen as the more authentic God, and Lord Krishna is seen as, you know, it's for the children, you know, the children can be entertained by Lord Krishna's heroic deeds. But Lord Ramachandra, he presented his ideal role of son, of husband, as ruler, you know, his unflinching fairness and equal dealings with the common people. It was actually also even so that during the time when one of the inhabitants was speaking unfavorably of Ram when he took Sita back, and Lord Ram didn't want to immediately send Sita away, because this person said, well, if I would be Lord Ram and if I would have such a wife that had stayed for such a long time at another man's place, then I would send her away. So Lord Ram found out about it, because to keep the peace in his community, he would have spies, bona fide spies, which he could really trust. And these spies would report to him, okay, this person is now miserable. What happened? Why? You know. So each person's situation was reported to Lord Ram. That much he cared about his subjects. He didn't care only about himself or about his family, but he primarily cared about his subjects and secondarily cared about his near family. So when this spy reported to him, at first he was kind of hesitant, but of course he needed to say it, because Lord Ram was getting very impatient, because he could sense that the spy was not clearly open to him. So and when he heard that, he didn't want to send Sita away. He was like, you know, because he was very devoted to Sita. Sita was also devoted to him. And like I mentioned before, a few classes before, that when Lord Ramachandra saw Sita Devi, he totally, you know, surrendered his love, his complete love, to her. And he explained to Lakshman why he did that, not to become like a, you know, how do they call it, like a, yeah, a hand-picked husband, but to pacify his heart, because when your heart is fully devoted to someone, to your wife, then your heart is not inclined to be attracted to someone by someone else. So in this way, he could, and he kept his vow that he would be, he would have just one wife. So he was, you know, he dedicated his whole heart to Sita Devi. And when he heard about this rumor that Sita Devi should have, you know, be sent away by him, and that it was disturbing the community, he was in a very, very big problem. And he was super disturbed. Of course, the Lord is never disturbed, but this is his... Yeah. And at some point, of course, Sita Devi was suspecting something is going on, because, you know, he was not acting natural. So after many, many days, she found out what was the situation, and she became very angry at Lord Ram. She said, "What kind of king are you? Because you're primary duty is to take care of the peace of the community, and you are now, you know, kind of dealing as a weak man, weak by attachments." And well, she chastised him, and then she decided, "I will go away. You don't have to send me. I will go away, because as of the wife of Lord Ramachandra, the ideal ruler, I will take this decision, because that is my contribution to your ruling, that your wife is also ideal in her dealings." So she decided that the best thing is to go, you know. And she left. And Lord Ram was devastated afterwards, but, and of course blamed by Lakshman and everybody. But that was her character also. So Sita Devi was also not, you know, like a totally emotional wife. "Oh my God, what are you doing? This and that." No, she was a queen. She was also a Kshatriya queen. And she was the wife of not just anybody. She was the wife of Lord Ramachandra. So she had character, and Lord Ramachandra had character. And if you rule by these kind of personalities, then you can imagine what kind of, you know, developed high-level society you have. So this is the quality, well, some glory of Lord Ram, but also Sita Devi. At some point, of course, Lakshman is here mentioned, because this is also a difficult verse to give purport about, because the whole chapter will present all kind of nice things, which I cannot discuss here now in the class. But there is also a nice thing to mention about Lakshman. And Lakshman had also a very, very important quality and nature. At the time after the ruling, after some time of Ram Rajya, the ruling of Lord Ram, after he came back of the banishment, Lord Ram was in discussion, in a meeting with Lakshman, and they were having a confidential talk. But at some point, the guard came in and he said, there is a very sinister looking person and he really wants to meet you. I think he is a king. So Lord Ramachandra was wondering who it was. Of course, he knows everything and he arranges everything. So when then he said to the guard, okay, let him come in. And this person came in. He was making Lakshman a bit uneasy. And he came in. And immediately Lord Ramachandra said to Lakshman, okay, we will stop the meeting now. I really have to meet with this person. But I want to meet him in private. And anybody who comes to disturb this meeting will be sentenced to death. And Lakshman was, wow. So, and he said to Lakshman, I would send the guard away and you will personally guard the door. So Lakshman was very, very much wondering, who is this person? And why is Lord Ram all of a sudden so, you know, so serious and so grave? And then at some point, Lakshman was keeping guard outside, and this person who came, he told Lord Ramachandra, he said, Lord, accept my obeisances, but it's time for you to leave. And it's time that this yuga ends, because the advent of the reasons for making Lord Krishna come will start now. So it was at the end of Treta Yuga. So, but then outside there was a whole discussion, and I forgot the detail. Anyway, there was a very, very important reason, and Lakshman was in a dubio if he should come inside or not. It was a very urgent matter. I totally forgot why. I'm so sorry. And then, he decided he will go inside. So he knocked on the door and he went inside. So Lord Ram was totally, you know, amazed and actually horrified that of all people, Lakshman entered and disturbed the meeting. So, because Lakshman was very, very dear to him. Of course, all the brothers were dear to him because they were actually, you know, they were parts of him. But now Lakshman entered and he was like, why did you enter? So Lakshman said, well, I found this very important, that's why I disturbed, but I accept whatever punishment you will give me. So Lord Ramachandra sentenced him to death. And then, of course, he heard the reason why Lakshman disturbed him. It was a good reason, bona fide reason, but still, because he had, you know, pronounced these words that anybody who disturbs him will be sent to death, he had to keep his word, because Ram was also known as the one that if he says something, he will keep it, no matter who it is, no matter why it is, no matter what it is. Pran jai parva chan na jai. So whatever he said, he would keep it. So he was devastated that it was Lakshman, and devastated that Lakshman would be sentenced to death. But it was at the same time also part of the Leela, because this man who came there to have this meeting with Lord Ram was Yamaraj, in a disguise, of course. So it was actually at the end of Treta Yuga, and all of these personalities would have to leave and go back to the heavenly planets. So these are very, you know, big good examples of the quality of Lord Ram. And of course, we are now, within a few days, we will have the appearance of Lord Gauranga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it would be nice if we could also develop some appreciation for why the Lord descends, because Lord Gauranga appeared. Of course, he appeared. He is Krishna himself, but he appeared as mercy personified. So Lord Ramachandra, the avatar Lord Ramachandra, he appeared to establish the rule of dharma, of righteousness, and that there should be no mercy at some point. And then Lord Gauranga, he established that everything what we do, we will make mistakes, and that mercy is one thing that will keep us from, you know, from very harsh reactions of material nature. So I'll keep it here for now. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu?
Oh. Just a reference. That's so interesting. I've never heard so far that Sita herself actually awakened. Is that from the Ramayana?
Yeah, there are untold stories, and this is not from.
Of the edition.
Yes. Anyway, I'll let you know. Yes, Matiji. Yeah, for sure. That because, like in the Treta Yuga, if you did something bad, the Treta Yuga has a span of 10,000 years. So the life, normally you would live about 1,000 years, no longer. 10,000 years. Yeah. So. No, but the whole Treta Yuga was how much? 4 million?
2 million.
Okay. So the time span to experience your karma was also longer. Of course, you know, we are now in a shorter period. Everything is concentrated. So the following up of bad activities is also quicker. So in a shorter time span, we do more bad activities, and like within a short interval, and also good activities, of course. So the results of that we will experience also in a shorter time. That means you concentrate. So Kali Yuga means you get concentrated bad reactions, concentrated good reactions. And you know, maybe this is my personal speculation, maybe this is why we see around us so many very horrible things going on, you know, very undescribable things. If the personalities of the Bhagavatam time, you know, if they would be in such a yuga and they would know about the horrors, I don't know if they would, you know, they would be surely touched by it in a very deep sense. We try to develop some sense of, you know, protection for ourselves in order to maintain our sanity, in order to maintain our life and continue to, you know, if you take up devotional service and continue to do devotional service, and if you don't do the devotional service, if you're not a bhakt, then you're trying to survive in this jungle of misery, what is outside. And this is how Kali Yuga is described. It's like a concentration of misery. So also in this yuga, very much the the role of Gauranga Mahaprabhu is there. Because you need the mercy in order to survive, in order to maintain your sanity, and in order to continue to take up devotional service. And the main thing is to keep faith in the Lord. Otherwise, you know, you lose faith sometimes. Even though we do devotional service, even though we know what the Shastra says, that, you know, you have karma, if you do something bad, you will experience bad. So people around us or outside, or even we ourselves, we experience sometimes very bad things. So we think, okay, it's karma. But sometimes you think that, okay, I'm doing so much service, I'm chanting so much, I'm following my spiritual master, I'm following the instructions of the senior devotees, but still, how can this happen to me? So once you are in such a situation, then your faith starts to crumble down, or, you know, starts to become unstable. But when we hang on to the Lord's lotus feet, then you will know, you know, that even in the situation of Jagai and Madhai, Lord Gauranga managed to deliver them. So, and, you know, Jagai and Madhai were very, very, very bad, very bad. I cannot describe how bad they were, very bad. So, so this is the quality of Lord Gauranga, and this is why he came in the right time, and this is why Lord Ramachandra was in that time, to establish how we should live a life of not human beings, as civilized human beings. Because we are human beings, we are in this human body, but we are not yet humans. We should be civilized, and only then we can be called human beings. Otherwise, we are just in the on the platform of animals, and that's why humans are called like a marginal being in the marginal energy, because humans can choose to have a life degraded to the level of the animals, or we can choose to develop godly or heavenly qualities. So this is where we can choose to become animals or to become devatas.
I just want to add, I thought you almost going to make your analogy very well, and you said about one of the different ways in Kali Yuga, you got concentrated with black, bad karma, and get concentrated with good karma. Therefore, we need concentrated mercy. So Lord Chaitanya's concentrated mercy is like...
Oh, really? Very nice.
Because it's in Lord Ramachandra, it's also very merciful, but it's not as so much, so concentrated, so fast, so quick. Yeah. So I thought you were...
Very good. That's very nice. You see, when you have these facilities, you uplift the whole society. Huh? And when you have all other facilities, like a tea club or a football club, or, you know, then you have degradation. But you have, when you have these kinds of clubs, then it uplifts your whole understanding, your whole personality. Madhugopal Prabhu, you had a question? Okay. Other questions or comments? Thank you for your attention. Srimad Bhagavatam Granthara Ji Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.